In 1930, the economist John Maynard Keynes published this famous essay called Economic Possibilities for Our Grandchildren. He's wondering what the future is going to be like, and he makes this bold kind of prediction. He imagines that in the time of his grandchildren, basically now, we might all be working just 15 hours a week.
Think about it, 15 hours a week. This would be like, okay, go to work on Monday, go to work on Tuesday, then TGIT, five-day weekend. And Keynes didn't detail what we would do with all of this extra leisure time, but you can imagine he was an aristocrat. He would want us to do poetry and dance, play the violin.
He once said, my only regret in life is that I didn't drink more champagne.
So lots of champagne. That was Keynes's vision of the future.
Keynes's logic made a lot of sense. Over time, he said, the economy is going to grow. We're going to come up with lots of little ways so that an hour of work can produce more and more and more.
And this part Keynes nailed. We have become more productive. We've got tons of cheap clothing, food.
I bought a thermos the other day that Keynes could only have dreamed of.
Keynes figured anybody living in such an amazingly wealthy future with all of these amazing thermoses, we would just naturally work less. We would only work 15 hours a week. Why not?
That part he got wrong.
Hello and welcome to Planet Money. I'm Robert Smith.
And I'm David Kestenbaum. The name of that essay was almost a dare. Economic Possibilities for Our Grandchildren. Today, we're going to check in with a couple grandchildren in the Keynes family, ask them how many hours a week they actually work. I'll just tell you, like everybody else, it is way more than 15 hours. We try to figure out why.
Support for this podcast comes from Scion. Scion has teamed up with the founders of Kickstarter, Threadless, Sprinkles Cupcakes, and more for the Scion Motivate Tour, a program dedicated to entrepreneurs. Episodes and event information can be found on scion.com/motivateTour. That's MOTIVATOUR.
David, I loved this idea when you pitched it. It seemed so elegant. Famous economist writes a letter to his grandchildren. We call up the grandchildren, see what they thought. One small problem.
Yeah, Keynes was married. He was married to this beautiful Russian ballerina. But they did not have any children, so that meant no grandchildren for us to call. We did the next best thing.
My name is Nicholas Humphrey.
And your relationship to John Maynard Keynes?
Okay, yes. I'm Maynard Keynes's sister's grandson.
You are the closest thing we have to his grandkids.
Yes, we're kind of ghost grandchildren.
Nicholas Humphrey is a retired professor. Before he retired, how many hours a week did he work? Not 15.
Oh, I probably worked about 15 a day. And that's a
15 a day. That's over 100 hours a week.
Yeah, I mean, I worked till like from breakfast till I went to bed at night.
100 hours a week. Not exactly what Keynes pictured for his grandchildren. So we tried another person in the family tree.
My name is Susanna Byrne.
And what's your relationship to John Maynard Keynes?
I'm his sister's granddaughter.
Susanna Byrne is self-employed. She works as a therapist in a pretty small town. What's the population?
I don't know. Don't know. But it's small.
I mean, is it like four restaurants downtown kind of thing or bigger than that?
Oh, probably smaller than that.
Oh. How many places are there to eat in town?
One Chinese takeaway and a pub.
Which is better?
Possibly the Chinese takeaway, but you get a bit more variety in the pub.
Susanna told me that she also works more than 15 hours a week, more like 50. Actually, she has a little trouble taking time off.
I used to write not working in my diary to remind myself not to put in an appointment.
Just like an hour in the day or something?
Yeah, or a day. Or
a whole
sometimes
day.
Even an entire week sometimes, yes. And so I'd write not working, and I've discovered that I still worked. So I now have to write don't work on the page in order to frighten myself when I look at the page and realize that I mustn't.
When you read Keynes's essay, you get the sense that he imagined capitalism was just this phase that humanity was going to pass through, that it was a great system for solving what he called the economic problem, for creating enough economic growth so that everybody's basic needs could be met. But he imagined that after that, people could relax. We would outgrow this habit of working all the time.
But that just hasn't happened. We looked at data going back to 1950. In 1950, people in the U.S. worked on average about 38 hours a week. Today, six decades later, we work 34 hours a week. It's a little less, but not much. The world got enormously wealthier over those years, but people just kept on working.
Some of it is just that we keep coming up with new things to buy, new things to want, phones, cars, clothes, food. But there is more to it than that. Richard Freeman wrote a paper titled, Why Do We Work More Than Keynes Expected? I was very excited.
On the point,
that.
Yes.
He's a Harvard economist and director of the National Bureau of Economic Research. We called him up.
He says Keynes's idea was based on this idea of leisure as a luxury good. It was like a new car or a nice dinner or a fancy pair of shoes. If you have more money, it makes sense. You'd want to buy more stuff like that. You'd want to buy maybe an extra car. So why wouldn't leisure be the same way? As you get wealthier, you'd take more time off. You'd consume more leisure because you could afford it. It's called the wealth effect, and it makes sense.
Though Freeman says if you look around today, you can see lots of places where people ignore this very logical rule.
You think about these basketball players who get $80 million, $100 million contracts. You might have said they'll just take one contract. That's enough money to live your entire life in wealth and just never work a day.
But or just play like 1 year. Just play like play a couple of years, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But they don't, and they push themselves, and they push themselves. And so Keynes would have had great trouble understanding
LeBron James.
Yes, yes.
Keynes underestimated how competitive we are. Nicholas Humphrey, Keynes' sister's grandson, happens to study this kind of thing. He's an evolutionary psychologist. He studied the evolution of consciousness. He studied mountain gorillas with Diane Fossey. And Humphrey says being competitive, that is bred into us over thousands of years. It's in our genes. It actually is our genes trying to ensure their own survival. We've been competing for tens of thousands of years so that we can attract the best mates, so that our kids can thrive.
And that's was true. It always will be true. And even in the future Keynes imagined for his grandchildren, I think he didn't pay enough attention to how much time we're going to put into actually just, you know, keeping ahead of the competition.
Another thing Keynes probably didn't pay enough attention to, the way we feel about work. Some people like their jobs. A lot of people like their jobs, even if they're not, like Keynes, some internationally famous economist.
He didn't understand craftspeople who take great pride in their craft. I don't think he knew that many normal people.
who had to work.
Yes, and who had to work. And he may have envisioned work was you're in the factory line and you're doing absolutely dull kinds of stuff. But there's so many other kinds of jobs and things that he didn't, I think, really appreciate.
Freeman says Keynes also underestimated this other critical economic factor. Sure, if you are rich, if you have more money, you can spend more money on vacations, you can take more time off, you can buy leisure. We call that the wealth effect, buying more leisure. But there's also something that works in the opposite direction, makes it so that the more money you earn, the less likely you are to indulge in leisure.
And basically, this idea is that the more you're paid, the more you're going to want to work, precisely because you are paid more for your time.
Say you had the choice of working one day or going to the beach. If your job pays $400 a day, you're going to think, well, wait a minute, the beach is lovely, but is it $400 lovely? No, I would rather have the money, literally make $400 not to go to the beach. It's incentive to work. And this is called the substitution effect.
Freeman says he thinks about this kind of trade-off all the time, not always in a money sense, but more broadly. Which is more valuable, working or what I'm going to do when I'm not working? What do you like to do aside from work? What are your favorite things to do aside from working?
If I have time off, I'm working on a play or a short story or a poem or something, and that I would like to carve more time for.
So why don't you?
I have this feeling that if I do that, it's very much self-indulgence. And then I've got a lot of students, and the students need help for their careers and so on. And if it's an hour of me writing a poem, and I've only published one poem in my life, so it's not like I'm a successful poet. Yeah. It doesn't seem right.
The better you are at your job, the harder it can be to not do it.
You could see this as a trap, as a sad thing, but Freeman does not. He's a big fan of John Maynard Keynes, but not on the 15-hour work week thing. There's a nice bit of writing in Freeman's essay. I'm just going to read it here. As members of a thinking species on a small planet in a giant universe with no more than 80 to 90 years of life, I think it is wrong to sit on our haunches and enjoy economic well-being. We are, after all, in a great race for life against death, for knowledge against ignorance, for exploring and understanding the world around us before the big contraction or crash or whatever comes next. And hard work is the only way forward. Thank heavens Keynes was wrong about the strength of human devotion to work. We should not spend more than a dribble of time living as if we were in Eden. Then there's one more line. Do you remember the last line of your piece?
No.
Grandchildren, keep trucking.
Oh, that's great.
It is worth pointing out that Keynes himself seemed to have trouble following his own advice. It's true, he did a lot of drinking and hanging out with people like Virginia Woolf. But in photos, you always see him sitting there with sort of a scowl on his face with a notepad and a book.
Men had, of course, died from working too hard.
Here's Nicholas Humphrey again.
You know, his heart ran out. He wasn't sleeping. He was overdoing it all the time.
World War II had just ended. England's economy was a mess. The whole global economy was a mess. Keynes' wife was not happy with how much he'd been working. He'd already had one, maybe more, heart attacks. She was worried the work was going to kill him. Here's Susanna Byrne.
His wife was very angry about it.
She was angry that he was working so hard at the end.
Yeah, yeah. She spent a lot of time trying to protect him from himself and would stop him doing things. She tried to help him say no, but in the end he couldn't say no.
Keynes died in 1946, and in the last couple years of his life, there was not a lot of time for champagne or for leisure.
He was trying to put the world back together after this horrible, devastating war. And in fact, the international financial system we have today, that is the legacy of John Maynard Keynes' last few years.
He worked until the end. That's what his grandchildren will remember. Keep on trucking. This podcast was kind of short, right?
I wasn't going to say anything, but it's about 4 minutes short. You came in 4 minutes short. So much for working a long work week.
I'll take the day off.
Yeah, go to the beach. Drink more champagne.
We have a graph online showing how many hours people work in various countries and how many hours they worked in the past. There are some places where people have cut back a bit. France, I'm looking at you.
France. Not yet to 15 hours, but getting there. You can see that at npr.org/money. Today's show is produced by Nadia Wilson. And now that you're done listening to Planet Money, may we recommend Alt Latino. It's a weekly introduction to the latest Latin alternative music. In a recent episode, they featured El Chapo. Do you know about El Chapo?
No.
El Chapo is the drug lord in Mexico who dug his way to freedom. This is like huge news. Anyway, Alt Latino features narco corridos. These are songs that celebrate drug lords, and they feature the ones celebrating El Chapo. That's on a recent podcast of Alt Latino, which you can find at npr.org/podcasts.
I'm in.
I'm Robert Smith.
And I'm David Kestenbaum. Thanks for listening.